been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. You know, this is the last day of April already. Oh, man, where's this year going? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We are off to a mixed start, a big mixed start. You've got one of the indexes that's way up today and one that's down a little bit. We're in the right stocks today. We're off to a very good start today, but the NASDAQ has started off to the downside. It's down 54 points right now. The NASDAQ is at 24,628. I can remember when it was at 1,800, Barry, 1,800. So the S&P 500 is up 4 points right now to 7,139. I remember when it was at 600. The Dow is up 398 to 49,260. That puts the Dow up 7/8 of a percent here so far today. And oil, the big bugaboo. Let's see where our big bugaboo is doing today. Oil today is up. Let's see. Oil. There it is. Oh, no, it's down 1.3%, but it's at $105.49. And it will cost you a lot to fill that SUV right now. Gold is up 1.4%. Gold has been very weak. And interest rates are still too high, Jerome Powell. The 10-year's at 4.39%. And he's going to remain on. That's the good news, huh? No, I don't think so.
Hey, we'll be right back. He's been a dove. He's been a dove over the years. I mean, so we'll see. It's interesting that dynamic of I heard him. The only thing interesting yesterday with the Fed decision was him talking, and it was interesting to hear him say, hinting, talking about staying and why he was staying, and, it sounds like he'd be willing to go, but not just yet.
Well, there's only one reason he's staying. Of course, Trump says no one else will take him. He can't get a job. McDonald's turned him down. That's according to Trump, but there's only one reason he's staying. Trump. He wants to be in his face as long as he can. And, of course, it was pretty much a non-event yesterday, the Fed decision. Then the ECB, they did the same thing today. That's your European Central Bank. They kept rates the same. Rates are too high, in my opinion. That's putting a chill in the entire real estate sector, which is a big sector. That's home building. That's real estate agents buying and selling. And that's the mortgage market. Rates are too high, and who's going to move and give up their 3% mortgage when they're 6.5% right now? So that puts a chill in the refinance market. It puts a chill in the new home building, and everybody's moving into apartments right now and becoming renters. So that's what I see, and I don't think it's a good trend. Oil was up 8.4% yesterday. I'm glad I filled my SUV 2 days ago, because I'm sure it cost me about $5 more.
Well, we got to travel to to Greenville for a kids soccer tournament this weekend. So I'll give you an update on my fuel cost.
I thought you were going to say Greenland for a minute. I go, well, you can check on that Carmel. What is that?
What's CRML.
That?
Yeah,
CRML. Yeah. That critical metals that's supposed to be finding rare earth under the tundra there. We've got a little investment in it. It's up big today, but we haven't heard about Greenland in a long time. But Greenville is a little closer. Maybe there's rare earth there. Maybe you can do a little digging while you're up there. The NASDAQ was up a little bit yesterday. It was the Fed decision day. Trump had a surprisingly mild reaction to Powell staying at the Fed. Powell said he would stay on for a period. To be determined. I would say as long as Trump's president, and then he'll quit as soon as Trump's term is up. Citing the administration's action in launching a criminal probe against him, what he described as a threat to the Fed's independence. Well, never mind the billions of dollars that he spent with the refurbishing the Fed palatial surroundings that he surrounds it with now.
It sounds like he's more worried about his independence.
That's what it sounds like.
he doesn't want to get locked up.
Trump responded to his social media post. He said, "Jerome, too late, pal, wants to stay at the Fed because he can't get a job anywhere else. Nobody wants him." Oh, I'm sure somebody would take him, but certainly not as a builder to do a project, to handle a project, because it would come in way over time and way over budget. CapEx spending, boy, man, I'll tell you what.
With those earnings yesterday?
CapEx spending. Explain to the crowd, explain to our people, what is CapEx spending?
Yeah, I mean it's essentially, you know, it used to be the old building plant and equipment would be the old adage, old version of CapEx. Of course, nowadays CapEx when it comes to Meta is along buying computer chips, buying computing power, building data centers, but you're really adding, right? You're building projects that are supposed to be, have return on investment at some point. And in this sense, I think, the market got a little spooked with, Meta's been, one of the biggest spenders during this AI boom. And also, there doesn't seem to be slowing down any based on the reports yesterday. They're ramping up spending and have also been cutting workforce. Well, didn't they cut about 10,000 or 2,000?
Yeah, they got to cut workforce to pay for the CapEx spending. Now, from a financial point of view, capital spending really is a balance sheet issue. It has nothing to do with the income statement. There's three financial statements that a company produces. It's their income statement, profit and loss. It's their balance sheet, what they own and what they owe, and it's their cash flow. So capital spending is going to show up really as a transfer from cash on the balance sheet to spending in something of value. Okay, and they're going to carry that on the balance sheet as an asset. In other words, no longer do they have $1 million in cash. They have $1 million worth of NVIDIA chips, or they have $1 million. Now, sometimes they expense it, but usually a capital expenditure relates more to a balance sheet issue.
Yeah, like a financing activity, yep.
Yes, and it does impact the cash flow statement. But maybe not. I mean, if it's just a transfer from cash to something of equal value, no, that affects cash flow. Sorry.
Now, did you see the spend? So the spend,
no.
Was expected to be. They bumped up what they expect to spend. I believe over this year was 125 billion to 145 billion in CapEx, up from the prior range of 115 to 135 billion. So essentially they increased what their expected expenditures be another $10 billion. What the stock looks like, it last time I checked it was down, it was down almost 10% at one point.
Yeah,
9.89% today.
We don't own Meta. Meta has been a really, really choppy stock.
Volatile, yeah, all over the place.
And we've been we've been saying for years you want to be on the side of where the capital expenditures are going. And I don't know if this company today is getting anything from Meta, but I've been saying for the longest time when we were in Houston, I said, you've got one of the best data center infrastructure stocks in the entire country with Quanta Services, PWR. And when we were in Houston,
you sent a text about that today, yeah.
You remember hardly anybody had heard of it?
Yeah.
Well, they came in with earnings today, and that stock is the winner of the day, and it's one of our largest positions. It's up 12.2%. We're up seven figures overall on that one stock alone, okay? And they're on the receiving end of the capital expenditures, and other companies, too, in Houston, where we visited earlier this year. We'll be back to Houston. at some point. And, you know, Houston's got, believe it or not, SLB is a data center stock. Halliburton is a data center stock. Baker Hughes is a data center stock. And you say, I thought they built oil rigs. Well, they also build data centers and run the power and
they're
do all of the power to them.
Yeah, they're in the energy business.
And we actually had a guy that met with us. He drove all the way from Louisiana to meet with us that day, and he works for the data center division of SLB. So, you know, it's a small world after all. You know, Alphabet called it unprecedented AI demand. And I would say in 1849 in the Bay Area, Levi Strauss said, there's unprecedented denim demand. And picks and shovels are flying off the shelves. And I probably a little whiskey went along with all of that. It's the second big gold rush in the Bay Area. This time it's all about AI. Whoever thought? You know, when ChatGPT came public that day, or not public, it was already public through Microsoft.
When they dropped it, that it was like March. It was kind of what pulled us out from Silicon Valley Bank. I think it was at the end of March of 2023, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and all of a sudden, AI was available to the masses, for better or for worse. I think in most cases it's for worse, but we'll see. I think a lot of people are being duped big time, being misled on AI. I don't trust Grok at all, not at all. We've got a lot of earnings coming in here today. Probably we're going to spend the whole rest of the... Oh, well, we got to mention Minnetonka. Where's Minnetonka, you say? Minnetonka is a suburb of Minneapolis. And we'll be there. Give me those dates.
It's going to be Tuesday the 19th, Wednesday the 20th, and Thursday the 21st of May. So that's,
yes, we try to get around to all the cities we're in across America. We've already been to Houston so far. We've been to Sarasota, and our next trip is going to be to Minnetonka, Minnesota, where that was probably the second or third show nationwide show that I got invited on by Salem. And now it's up to 12. But we've been in Minnesota,
been
Minneapolis.
There forever.
And yeah, most people don't realize that Minneapolis, yeah, it's been in the news a lot lately. That's for sure. ICE, Black Lives Matter, Governor Walz, this and that. I mean, I still go back to it's Harmon Killebrew and the Minnesota Twins. It's the Purple People Eaters of the Minnesota Vikings and Fran Tarkenton scrambling around throwing touchdown passes. And, you know, that's the Minnesota I know.
Yeah, politics and social things out there have kind of overshadowed the old Minnesota nice, right?
Well,
and everybody we meet with is, you know, it's interesting. It's such a weird dynamic because everyone we meet with is, you know, so great. I mean, just great people in general. And,
the average Minnesotan is Scandinavian. They love Gunderson. They have no debt. Their home is paid off. Yep, yep, yep. And they say, yep, yep, yep. Everything
and they get a lake house.
And they have a lake house, and a lot of them go ice fishing, although I think that's more of an excuse to drink myself up there in the Great Northwest. But, they claim they get some muskie and some pike, mostly pike. I don't think a muskie will fit through that little hole in the ice. I know I would fit through that little hole. That's what I worry about, you know. Okay, so I'm looking forward. It's been a long time. We did not go to Minnesota last year. Because of all the violence and strife and everything going on there, I don't want to get arrested by ICE or sent home or whatever, back to South Carolina. We'll be there at the Marriott.
Minnesota
Minnetonka Marriott.
There we go.
Tuesday night, I'll be performing in front of a live audience, the Best Stocks Now gig, which... Hey, it will change your life as an investor. In 1.5 hours, you will walk out of there and empowered. You'll be better than 90% of the mucky muck investment bankers on Wall Street because they're buying AT&T.
Yeah, it'll help take the veil off your eyes, I think.
Yes.
You put it in an understandable fashion in terms of, you know, what you do, how you do it, what's the, you know, what you're thinking before you're placing a trade. So it's, you know, I think it's always a great exercise to go through, but it's always different.
Yep, I've never had an account transferred to me from Morgan Stanley or one of the big ones that would have a stock like Quanta Power in it. You know, instead they would have Lockheed or some other dinosaur of the past. That's just the way it goes. Okay, I think we'll start with where it all began. Really, it all began with Microsoft and ChatGPT. And we owned Microsoft at the time. We don't own it now. But that sent Microsoft on quite a rally when they were first to market with a publicly available, you know, AI model. And, of course, the engine is ChatGPT, which is OpenAI, which is Sam Altman, who's in court with – they're sparring. There's a heavyweight fight going on. I don't know where the courtroom is. Is it California?
I don't know the venue actually. I didn't look. My guess is it's probably in California, just because it had to do with
where OpenAI is located, yeah. And that's where Tesla was located. I watched a couple of heavyweight fights in my life. I sat in San Diego, and I've said this before. I watched Muhammad Ali and Kenny Norton duke it out for the heavyweight championship of the world. Now you got Elon Musk and you've got Sam Altman duking it out. I think Musk would probably win a boxing match, but this is a match of wit and brains and intellect. And Musk is asking for Musk needs a little money. He's asking for like $320 billion because he doesn't have enough. You know, his bank account's a little small these days.
You think ChatGPT can help out with the defense? Do the lawyers ask ChatGPT?
Maybe he should have a humanoid robot as his attorney. He wants me to buy a humanoid robot to make all my decisions. Hopefully, maybe it's Grok versus ChatGPT in the background. We'll never know, but that's going on out there. And yesterday, Cauchy had it at 60% that Musk would prevail and get a big award from the jury. I don't know. I don't know what juries have to say about a guy like him, the richest man in the world. I don't know what they have to say about awarding him even more money. I think that's an uphill battle. Okay, now let's begin with Microsoft. Microsoft, we put out a sell. I can't remember the last time I wrote, and I didn't know where it was going to land. I said it was after they reported earnings a while back, and I said, let's write up a research report on Microsoft, because they were in the news. And I signed my junior analyst to do all the research and gather everything. And when we did a very thorough analysis of it using their track record, their past performance, looking at their five-year valuation, we actually came up with a sell. A sell. I was really surprised. But once you've written the article, you got to produce the article. You may as well. And you have to be truthful. And the truth was, we didn't like it at all. And that's a bad chart. Microsoft has gone nothing but down, really, since we wrote the article.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
A little bit more color on Microsoft, probably one of the most overowned stocks in the entire market. Somehow people think it's just bulletproof. They're not bulletproof. Eventually they go through changes. The changes of life happen. They get older. They slow down. Their growth stunts. And they even start to shrink and shrivel up sometimes. Microsoft hasn't quite reached that part. But that's a lousy chart, number one, on Microsoft. Microsoft is now down 27% from its recent high of $553 per share. ChatGPT really gave it a big boost, and back in October it hit 553. Now it's at 401. So you're down 27% on Microsoft. Now, the app that I invented some 15 years ago and it's the engine that drives the research bus here at Gunderson Capital. When I look at the past performance, we'll begin there. Over the last 5 years, Microsoft has underperformed the S&P 500. Over the last 3 years, the S&P 500 has averaged 23.8% per year over the last 3 years. Microsoft has averaged 12.2%. So it's done one half of what the S&P 500 has returned. And even worse than that, over the last 12 months, while the S&P is up 29%, Barry, over the last 12 months, Microsoft's only up 9%. So now you've got a major underperformer versus the S&P 500. And when I grade Microsoft's performance on the curve against 5,300 other members of my database, Microsoft gets a C plus performance grade, which reflects the past. Looking in the rearview mirror, and this is something I go over big time at the workshops that I teach. What do we do then next? We look forward. They say don't look back. The band Boston, I think Bob Dylan had a documentary that said it was Don't Look Back. But I think with the stock and with a horse at the horse races and with a hitter stepping up to the plate in baseball, I think you have to look back at the track record. And the performance, okay. It didn't work out.
Who was it? The management's doing, you know.
Who was it that looked back? They told her not to look back. Oh, it was Lot's wife when they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. They told her, don't look back. Guess what? Now she's in a Morton salt shaker somewhere, that's a weird story. She gets turned into a pillar of salt for looking back. Okay, now we got to look ahead. How do you look ahead with the stock? Well, that's what it's really all about. That's what an analyst does. I spent many years, on the West Coast as an analyst, studying, writing about, analyzing stocks. That's why they call it an analyst. We analyze, and the analyst generally looks at earnings, the course that the earnings are taking, the projection of earnings going forward, what kind of growth rate we think those earnings can achieve, the company can achieve, and then we apply a multiple to those earnings 5 years from now, or we discount it back using a discounted cash flow methodology. I use basically an earnings model for my valuations. And I like to buy stocks that have 80% or more upside potential. That's one of the criteria that I have. Microsoft currently has 46%. That completely eliminates it from any consideration to be in one of our four portfolios that I manage. Microsoft gets an F value grade, and you just heard how the performance has been underperforming. Out of 5,214 stocks in my database, my proprietary database, Microsoft is ranked number 2,401. So that's why we have a sell. Right now we have it ranked as a hold. Okay, yeah. A hold is not a sell. It's not a buy. It's just a blah. It's a pillar of salt. Right?
It's got that. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic because it's in the right spots in terms of the data center with Azure and all that, in terms of, growing earnings there. But it's also started out as a software company, right? And of course, we know, software companies have been
terrible
under the gun since, with AI. So it's just, it'd be an interesting dynamic to see how they kind of change the narrative over time. And, it's a name we've owned, for a long time off and on here at the firm, but currently not one that we want any part of.
No. Now, the other one that's probably done okay, for the Fab 7, it hasn't been as volatile as the other six, but it's been too volatile for my taste, and we don't currently own Alphabet either, okay? But Alphabet is having a decent day, probably the best of the tech stocks that reported yesterday. We had three of the big, the Fab 7 reporting yesterday. Microsoft, or Alphabet, which I'll always call Google, is up right now. Let's see, it was up 7%.
It was about 5% or so when I saw it just a minute ago.
Okay, Google is, yes, 5%. It has pulled back, but it's hitting a new all-time high, and Google now has a market cap of $4.2 trillion. I think it's probably past Microsoft. I'm sure it has.
Yeah,
why, long shot.
You know what a CapEx,
3.1.
Yeah, CapEx for Alphabet, $180 billion to $190 billion in 2026.
Oh,
and they and they're expecting 2027 to rise what they called significantly. So,
well, and again, you want to be on the receiving side of that CapEx and not the spending side of that CapEx.
Be on the NVIDIA side of that.
The fiber optics, the air conditioning stocks, the infrastructure, the ones that provide the power to the data centers, all of that, they're the Levi Strauss of today. Levi Strauss made all the money in the gold rush. Oh, I'm sure a few miners hit pay dirt, but for the most of them, they went home with their sourdough packed in their knapsacks and their picks and shovels, and that's about all they had, not any gold. So let's take a look next at Alphabet. We'll put that under the microscope right now. It's hitting a new high. It's going the opposite direction. Now, I would just say this about Alphabet. They have a few more irons in the fire than Microsoft has. Number one, remember the day that the CEO of Salesforce, Benioff, said, their Gemini blows ChatGPT out of the water. Okay, so that was a big feather in Alphabet Google's cap. I honestly haven't used Gemini a lot. I try to rely on my own instincts.
I haven't either. I think I downloaded it, but I haven't really used it much yet. I've probably used OpenAI the most at this point, just because it was one of the first ones.
Yeah, okay. And they also make AI chips over at Google. That's another big plus in there. And they're obviously big in data center. And they have the Waymo cars, they're way ahead. When we were in the Silicon Valley, which I can't wait to get back to this year, those Waymos were, I never saw a Tesla robo-taxi, but the Waymos were running all over the place. They have a lot of irons in the fire right now. Okay, and let's just take a look at their track record. Let's first look back. We go to the Best Stocks Now app. Now, I just want you to know, this doesn't take very long to size up a stock. That's why I invented it. I invented it for me, so I could immediately look at the performance. Over the last 10 years, Google, Alphabet has been outperforming the S&P 500, unlike Microsoft. You've got over the last 5 years, Alphabet's averaged 25% per year returns to investors. The market is 14. And, of course, Microsoft was way below that. Over the last 3 years, Alphabet's been returning 49% per year. This is Sergey Brin. Who denounced communism and socialism yesterday. Over the last 3 years, the S&P's 23%, Alphabet's 48%. But wait a minute. Oh, we should have held on to Google. We shouldn't have sold it, but I did. I got nervous. Google over the last 12 months is up 119%. Now we're going to take a look. Don't look back. Let's look forward at the stock Alphabet. On our current five-year valuation. And, of course, with the new numbers coming in, I got to believe that the valuation will be going a little bit higher from here. But as of right now, it doesn't quite meet our valuation criteria, and that's why we don't own it, unless this earnings beat does something. And I will be evaluating when a big company like this reports earnings, I take a look at my growth rate that I'm using. Right now I have a 13% growth rate in there for Google Alphabet. And when I take next year's earnings of, let's see, what's $13.59, we extrapolate that out by 13% per year over the next 5 years, apply an appropriate multiple, which is a little bit of an art as opposed to a science, but I do have formulas that calculate that. I get 72% upside potential, Barry. I like 80% or
just
more.
Just a bit short, yeah.
But there's a couple of factors here that you have to consider. This $13.59 that's estimated for next year, I got to believe that's going higher. And that 13% growth rate that I'm using could also be going higher, and that could put the valuation, I won't know for maybe 2 days. I need these numbers to adjust, and I need to check my growth rate to see if I'm on or if I need to be a little more generous or maybe even a little more stingy. I don't know. But that's why we don't own it currently, because of that only 72% upside potential. Now, the last one we're going to look at has been the one that has it's got the lowest PE multiple ratio of all the fabulous seven. But, man, I'll tell you what, the Zuckerbergs, they call him Zuckerbucks. He was Zuckerbucks. He was giving to the Biden administration. Zuckerbucks were going there during the first time, the defeat of Trump by Biden. And now his Zuckerbucks are going to the AI companies, the infrastructure companies. And, you know, he's pouring money out to try to keep. And they just came out with their own AI model here recently.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Now, let's first look in the rear view mirror at Zuckerbucks. He's been, it's been all over the map. The performance has been all over the map. Over the last 10 years, he's underperformed the S&P 500, 19% per year versus 24 for the S&P. But he's had a good run here over the last 3 years. And didn't we read recently that Facebook now takes in more advertising revenue than Google takes in? Their Google search.
Yeah, that just happened, I don't know, it was announced, I don't know, a couple weeks back. Yeah.
And yes, and that it's not cheap to advertise on Facebook, and it's not cheap to advertise on Google either. They get a pretty penny for the eyeballs that view those sites every day. That's some very valuable real estate. Think about that. Just your little iPhone screen and a Google search, how valuable that little piece of real estate, and how much they can charge you for owning a search. That's why they call it Alphabet, because you can buy. I could buy the word broker, and just anybody that types in broker, would lead to me or a few others, or the word advisor or knucklehead. You don't even have to pay for that one. It'll leave right now. I'm just kidding. But that's how Alphabet works. Phrases, you buy phrases, searches, etc. Now, Meta, over the last 12 months, has underperformed. It's up 22. The market's up 29. And so where we go next is this valuation, the next 5 years. And I'm going to say that it's probably pretty decent, but we don't own the stock because the chart, we finally gave up because the chart was so rough. It wasn't in sync with the fundamentals.
Well,
and
it's
that's
all
always
the,
a red flag.
All over the place if you look at it, yeah.
It's a red flag when the chart is not in sync with the fundamentals. Now, we show it with 85% upside potential here right now, which meets our criteria, but the past performance kind of discounts it. And when you add both of those together, I can't tell you how important these five year performance number or valuation numbers are. It's okay. We have a buy rating on the stock, but then you've got a bad chart, and you must have questionable fundamentals. And I have to revisit three stocks today and really sharpen my pencil a little bit actually my keyboard. I don't use a pencil anymore. It used to be we had a little graph paper and we would chart stocks on graph paper.
You used to get the charts delivered to your door.
Yeah, now it's all digital.
Driveway.
Yeah. So I go into my app, into the back door, and I look at the five-year growth rates. I look at next year's earnings estimates. The multiple will be calculated automatically. I won't tweak that. And I'll get a new target price. Maybe this sell-off in Meta is a buying opportunity. Only time will tell as the new numbers come in. So there you go. That's those are the big earnings. Lilly also reported today, just on a side note, they have the miracle drug, the GLP-1, the Zepbound. Lilly's having a good day. It's up $77 per share. It's up 9%. It's the only pharmaceutical, it and Novo Nordisk, because they have these miracle weight loss drugs. Lilly is up 9% today. And yeah, we are out
Novo
of time.
Novo getting a pop today, too.
Yeah, Novo's getting a pop. You know, anybody that wants to lose weight, that has been struggling to lose weight, I have seen one success story after another. And I've helped people, and they're grateful. It works, and all I can say is those are the two best pharmaceutical stocks out there, Novo Nordisk with Wegovy and Eli Lilly, who fought in the Civil War on the Confederate side.
On the northern side.
I mean, on the northern side with their miracle drug called Zepbound. Two, Reserve. I don't know. I got to get an update. Maybe you can do that after the show. Find out from Edie how many are coming to the workshop. It was about 75 last I heard. Find out how many appointments are left in that three-day period while we're there. And in the meantime, you don't have to make an appointment at Minnesota. We meet with people all over the country every single day. 855-611-BEST. Or go to our website for the trial of the app, the newsletter, the live alerts, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.